If there is one thing in the heart and the life of the child of God that we all know we must walk in the footsteps of our Savior, that we must seek to see our Lord and our Savior, we need to begin with our young people always. To try to get them to understand that they need to seek our Lord early in their life. If there is one thing the Bible teaches, it is that each of us should seek to see our Lord. That we should emulate Him. That we should imitate Him. That we should have His mind. That His mind should guide every principle of our lives. That we should be seeking to serve and follow our Lord the last day we live on this earth. The reason we say that our young people should seek our Lord, because so many of them are seeking happiness in every other realm. A long time ago, the wisest man who ever lived said these words in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, through the end of chapter 12. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, all these things God will bring you in the judgment. The Bible plainly states in that 10th verse that you should remove sorrow from your heart and evil from your ways, for the youth and adorn a life of vanity. Therefore remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days shall come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon knew what youth needed. Solomon, in his rich experience, his great, great knowledge from God, and his inspiration, told each of us what we should do. Every young person would do well to follow Solomon's directions. Solomon did not live up to the knowledge he possessed. He failed miserably to follow his own advice. But he gave us a philosophy of life that should guide our lives the last day we live on this earth. This is the end of the matter. All have been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Tonight I want to warn and encourage our young people that they need to look to Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of their faith. They should look to Christ, but so many of them are looking everywhere else. First of all, I want to deal with sports and the great athletes of our day. For the past year, I've been reading about baseball contracts that are being signed. Well, there were three men, particularly one, Zach Greinke, has signed a baseball contract where he's going to be paid $35 million just to play 162 baseball games. Is it any wonder that our youth are so sports-minded? Is it any wonder that tens of thousands of our young people go wild every time the season changes and another sport comes upon the scene? Is it any wonder when they see, when they hear, when they read about the astronomical figures that they are making? Is it any wonder that our young people themselves desire to excel, that they are willing to do anything and everything to squeeze just a little more endurance, strength, whatever the case might be, in order that they might win, they might win, they might win. So many of our young people across this United States, this very night, are using performance enhancing drugs, better known as steroids. Part of the reason why? It's because of your Roger Clemens. It's because of your Barry Bonds. It's because of your Sammy Sosa. It's because of the athletes of our day. Many of them has been found. Many of them are guilty. Many of them have been caught using steroids, even though they are jeopardizing their health, playing Russian roulette with allies. But in order to win, in order to achieve, in order to be the very best of the best, they are willing to do anything and everything in order that they might worship at the shrine of excellence on the athletic field. They have forgotten the admonition of the great apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God Almighty teaches us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it do not need to be subjected to things like steroids without the need in order to live. The price of using steroids will ultimately have to be paid. Our young people have sometimes forgotten that God Almighty said, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you. There are so many. Go out for sports. It might be fine. That's not my argument tonight. My argument is that it doesn't take first place in your lives. So many of our young people, parents, push them and encourage them that they excel in the athletic arena. Great Alabama football coach said years and years ago, winning is everything. Neighbor, that's a lie. Winning a football game is not everything. Winning a basketball game is not everything. Winning a golf tournament is not everything. Winning a baseball game is not everything. Let me tell you what's everything. Jesus Christ is everything. The kingdom of God is everything. That's why we need to get our priorities straight. We need to know and understand what's first, right, and best. We do not need to put sports above our families, above our Christian friends, above the church of the living God and the truth of God's word. We need to stand up for what the Lord has taught. And we do not need to be ashamed of it. We need to pan the kingdom of God and let the sporting arena do as they will. Teach our young people priorities. Many of our young people are not only seeking happiness in sports, but in drugs. Many of our young people start sniffing glue, inhaling paint, smoking marijuana, until they get hooked on hard drugs. It befuddles their mind. It helps destroy their bodies. They quite often degenerate into criminals and become guilty of avarice, vice, theft, immorality because of drugs. Let me tell you something, neighbor. Drugs have ruined our society. But the Bible still speaks as it always did. So then, brethren, we're dealt us not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the teachings of Scripture we put to death the deeds of the body, then shall we live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:12-14. We need to make men and women understand that fleshly gratification, whether by youth or adults, is not the end thing. It's the wrong thing. And that self-discipline and self-denial is taught of God. That God Almighty teaches every individual. If a man will purge himself from these things, he'll become a vessel of honor fit for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2:20. brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. Drugs have become so great in our society until it may well destroy this entire nation of America. It may well be that it's gone so far already that there is not anything we can do to stop the flow of drugs into our nation. To stop the use and abuse of drugs in our nation. It may well be that the world's greatest democracy dies. Not because of Osama bin Laden. Not because of Saddam Hussein. Not because of Muammar Gaddafi. Not because of ISIS. Not because of some terrorist group. But because of the use of illicit drugs. Now young people are contributing to it in many areas. 30 our young people are seeking happiness with alcohol. Alcohol is nothing but an ungovernable master. Know ye not to whom you present yourself? His slaves you are to whom you to obey. For the sin unto death are obedience unto righteousness. God Almighty teaches us that we must put to death the bondage and the sins that enslaves us. That we must become slaves of righteousness. Romans 6, verse 16. Drugs and alcohol is a hard life, young people. Those adults here that are older in years, I know you can write books about the drunks you've worked with in your lifetime. I know you can write books about the homes that's been destroyed because of the use of drugs and alcohol. I know you can write books about vehicular fatalities. Drunk drivers, domestic violence, burglaries and robberies and murder because of the use of drugs and alcohol. There's no doubt it has appeal. There's no doubt drugs have an appeal. There's no doubt alcohol have an appeal. Anyone that has ever dealt with people involved in it, or any of us that have ever tried it, we know the appeal. But the Bible commands us. The Bible demands of us. The Bible tells us that we must crucify the flesh with the lust and the passions thereof. The most vivid picture in the pages of inspiration to a New Testament Christian is the crucifixion of self. You sit there and you think about this. And I want you to tell me why. Why did God choose and use to put his son to death by crucifixion? Why? It is one of the most painful, the one of the most excruciating deaths a man can die. It's lingering. It's agonizing. It's long, hard, drawn out, painful, painful suffering. And yet repeatedly, the Bible tells us a child of God must crucify himself. Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. They that is of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the lust and the passions thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk also in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 24 and 25. The Bible says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ my Lord, of whom I have become crucified for the world, and the world has become crucified unto me. Galatians 6 and verse 14. The Bible teaches self-discipline. The Bible teaches self-restraint. Colossians 3 and verse 5 tells us that we must put to death, therefore ye members that are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. And young people, you can put drugs, you can put alcohol and tobacco in that same passage of scripture and do no violence to it. You know why, don't you? Because there are sins. There are sins of the flesh. Oh, my brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, Christians, I'm telling you, neighbor, we need to warn our young people. We need to plead with them. We need to teach them to exhort. We must show them in no uncertain terms what they are doing when they ingest tobacco, when they ingest drugs, when they ingest alcohol into their systems. Any thinking man knows what alcohol will do. Social drinking is forbidden by God, and thinking men repudiate it. Nothing good comes of it. Our young people are also seeking happiness with illicit sex. To our young people, it's just porn. It's just pornography. It's just filthy movies, filthy magazines, fornication, adultery. Doesn't the Bible speak of these things? Of course it does. The Bible says, seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are on this earth. For you die and your life is hid with God in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, shall be manifest, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. Colossians 3, 2 through 4. God wants our young people to recognize that there is a beauty about passion. There is a beauty about sex. There's beauty about marriage. Young people, listen to me, please. Before you get your life all messed up. No marriage, no sex. If you have not said I do, don't. You don't put yourself in a compromised situation where your emotions began to arise. Because then it's no time to have a Bible study. It's no time to grab a song book and start singing songs. The only thing you need then is a good set of Nikes. Flee! You know what that means? Take off your arms. Take off your heels. And you better try to run for your life. Our young people are also seeking happiness with the use of tobacco. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, nicotine in its purest form, inserted into your bloodstream, will bring about instant death. Whether smoking it, or chewing it, or chewing it out. It's a sin of the flesh. It's a violation of scripture. It's a filthy habit. the use of tobacco is just another way of committing suicide on the installment plan. Our young people are also seeking happiness in music. Now, everybody needs to come up close on this one, because I know I'm getting ready to lose a whole lot of you. It's interesting to observe that Greek philosopher Plato, over 2,015 years ago, quoted this about conquering a culture. I don't need your military, nor do I need your money. All I need is your youth and their music, and I can control their culture. In 1935, one of the fathers of the communistic empire, man by the name of Joseph Stalin, "We can conquer America." Holy, wait a minute. Our military is not that strong. How can we conquer the United States? We don't need the military. All we need is three things. Get their youth, sex, drugs, and music. Neighbor, that was in 1935. Look at us today. Look at us today. You know why? Because people usually sing about what's going on in that culture. And a culture can be controlled. And it is. Right today. Behind that. So many tentacles flow off of that. Like body piercing. Ink. It flows off of that. Music has a way of bypassing the intellect. It bypasses the thinking process. And you'll begin to clap your hands and shrug your shoulders and pat your feet, and you don't even know what you're clapping about. People literally sing to the devil. People literally, from the lyrics, sing about sex. And don't really realize that. Don't realize the danger of music. I want you to write down two words. First word I want you to write down is the word museum. Museum. Now this word, our root word from this word museum is the word muse. M-U-S-E, muse. What does that word mean? Well, muse is a place of repository art or education. When one want to go and study, they would choose this avenue, particularly arts, particularly libraries. It's a place where one goes to study. Why is it that when you go to these places, you don't hear any music? Why is that? Why is it that these places are saturated with signs, "Quiet, please"? Why is that? You have to be able to think. Now, if muse is a educational term, place where one studies, think, in the English vernacular, anytime you see, usually, an A in front of the word, it usually negates its meaning. Is that right? You take, for instance, the word theist. Well, we all know what that means, don't we? We should if we're members of the church. Well, if you put an A in front of the word theist, now you got the opposite of the meaning. If you take the A and put it in front of the word muse, now you are being entertained and you are not required to study or to think. You're being amused. That's what music does, friend. Usually it does not require you to think. You can sing about murder. You can sing about satanic worship. You can sing about being ugly to women, violence to the police department, and on and on and on I could go. That's what the lyrics of even some of the music that we listen to, that we think is safe. You better start thinking. Let me ask you something. You know, when you go to the dentist, you walk in the dentist's office, usually you hear soft music playing. You register, you sit there, grab a magazine, soft music is playing. But then when they call your name to go back there in the office in that stall, why is it no music is playing about that back there? Why is it no music is playing back? Would you like your dentist to be in your mouth with music playing? And he's dancing and doing all the things that music requires you to do while he got your mouth open up? No, you want him to think, don't you? That's what music does. It bypassed the intellect. And people literally sing to the devil. Well, yes, they do. Call your local automotive place. Toyota, Nissan, or wherever. My car needs servicing. Hold, please. What comes on? Music. Telemarketers. Creditors. Trying to get you to open up this new credit card. Hold, please. Why is it that music comes on? They need to enter. They don't want you to think. Why is it that Magic Mountain, Disney World and Land, and all of those amusement parks, I want you to answer this question. Why is it that they draw more people yearly than a library? Why? And we go there and we pay people money to frighten us. They don't want you to think. They don't want you to pay that money. You have to be able to think. And while you're there, Magic Mountain or wherever you are, have you ever saw a business deal or a contract being signed while somebody's riding a roller coaster? That's how powerful that stuff is, neighbor. And we as members of the Church of Christ, we need a whole lot of teaching on that. We have to be able to think. Our young people also are seeking happiness. as I aforementioned, these tentacles. Body tattooing and body piercing. In Romans 12, verses 1 beginning, here the Apostle Paul writes these words. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. Know ye your adulterers and adulteresses. You are a friend of the world. That's enmity with God. James 4 and verse 4. Brother John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life, it is not of God. It's of the world. Verse 19 says, the world passes away. Christ is our example. We must follow in his footsteps. I'm going to close with this. We can go on to mention several things, but suffice it to say you have the message. Our children need to seek to see Jesus. You have to be concentrating on your education. That's both spiritual and secular. That's the only thing that I see that pays dividends, friend. That's the only thing that I see. Sports does not pay dividends. Only education. Secular and spiritual. You and I as parents want to see the dividends of our children. We as parents, we're going to have to see Jesus as well. Parents today just don't have time to be parents anymore. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6. What does the word nurture mean? When you have a little puppy or little baby kitten that needs to be fed, do you nurture it? Or do you just wind its tail up and turn it loose? No, you nurture it. You take it. You prepare for it. You warm its milk. You put the milk in an eyedropper or a bottle with a nipple on it. And you begin to massage that body. You begin to coax that little animal. What are you trying to do? Trying to get it to eat to live. Neighbor, that's nurture. Fathers in America today spend on the average 3.5 minutes of quality time per average per day with their children. 3.5 minutes is not enough nurturing. Fathers are too busy making money. Fathers are too busy buying $400 tennis shoes. Fathers be addicted to drugs? Yes. Fathers be addicted to materialism? Yes. Fathers and mothers be addicted to illicit sex? Yes. When fathers and mothers does not seek Jesus first, they do not show their children what's right. The greatest influence in our society is not ungodly television. It is not, I want to be like Mike. It's not immorality in the schools. It's not weak preacher training schools or weak Christian colleges. It's not weak pulpits or ungodly elders. Neighbor, it's sad parents. You take a godly child reared in a Christian home, that child has got a foundation to fight anything and everything on this earth. Sorry, pulpits, ungodly elders, weak congregations, weak Christian colleges, you name it. But if that child doesn't imbibe the teachings of King Jesus the Christ through their parents and have the tied knees at home, that child is going to fall by the wayside more often than not. Looking at his father and mother with their fast life, with their materialism, with their priorities completely out of joint, the child is confused. So many of our parents today act just as if that these wonderful, loving, beautiful, precious children, these gifts that God has given us in the form of our children and our grandchildren, some parents act just like they're not going to have to stand before God and give an account. God got something for us in the 38th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse 19, beginning, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. We must work while it's yet day. The night come when no man can work, John 9 and 4. How can parents think they're going to heaven when through their own negligence are sending their children to hell? Parents need to see Jesus. Aren't you glad this sermon is over with? Or you want me to keep on going? I don't have to run out, neighbor. All you got to do is just plug me in. First of all, to the eldership here, Gary and Andy, and I don't see Brother Robinson here, and the old man sitting back over there. I had to get that in one more time. I want to express my appreciation to them, all four of them, for allowing me to come and stand before you. I appreciate the endorsements and all of the things that Kevin has done and the confidence and of course the trust. Thank you so very, very much. I don't take that for granted at all. I know what goes around in our brotherhood. And you can trust a whole lot of people with your money, but very few with your name and your reputation. Once you allow me to come and stand before the flock that you shepherd, put that trust in me to do what is required of me, I'm humble, and I appreciate that. All of the food from Sunday night with Kevin and his wife, Monday with the Buchanans, and Tuesday with the preacher and his wife, today with the Lawsons. We appreciate that so very, very much. All of the great comments and encouragement that I've gotten standing back and talking to the members, it encouraged me to strive to do better. And I appreciate that as well. Congregation here, God bless each and every one of you, all of our senior saints as well, and more importantly, our children. If you just concentrate on your secular education and your spiritual education, it's going to pay dividends for you, and you can make a difference in this world. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to heaven's invitation any kind of way, someone been studying with you and you need to be baptized into King Jesus of Christ, we certainly will entertain that. What a great, great night Wednesday to give your life to the Lord. You've not been the child that you need to be. You've not been respectful to your parents or your grandparents. However you fall short and you need God's help, don't be afraid to allow the church to pray for you and help you along those lines. You've not been the parent that you need to be. Well, you can respond to heaven's invitation as well. Whatever your needs are, I surrender all. Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance has been selected for us to sing that song to encourage one another. While our dear brother leads us in that song, why won't you respond?